Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra Daf Kuf Hey. We will begin by Eser Hashem is Baruch on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. Two lines from the bottom of the Mishnah. We've been learning in our Mishnayos that different terms, words that were used in expressing a sale changed the halacha dramatically. When the words Mida B'Chevel are used, they indicate that the sale of the property has to be exactly according to the terms of the sale, exactly the dimensions that were agreed upon. On the other hand, we learned that when the words Hein Chaser and Hein Yasser were used, that gives room for discrepancy. We've been discussing quite extensively how much is considered acceptable and how much is not considered acceptable. Our shiur begins today when there were words that are contradict each other in the statement. What does the halacha do? If the way the sale was expressed that it's being sold according to the exact amount, but also the words hein chaser v'chein yasser were included. And now the question is, what do we say? Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, bitel hein chaser hein yasser, the words hein chaser v'yasser overtake the words of mida b'chevel. We follow the second statement as we're going to be learning extensively in the Mishnah, extensively in the Shir today, that the second statement is considered the prevailing statement, says the Gemara. And therefore, if it was said in the other way around, where the way it was said was hein chaser hein yasser mida b'chevel. So here, the mida b'chevel was the second statement. So the halacha is bitel mida b'chevel. The second statement of saying mida b'chevel will supersede the first statement that says hein chaser hein yasser divrei b'nanis. So of course the question is that why did the Mishnah have to say the same halacha twice, that we always follow the second statement? So say the Rishonim, if we wouldn't have both cases mentioned in the Mishnah, we would have thought that we always follow the beginning of the statement. We always start with the base Korani Moichaloch. But we've explained that when we learned in our shiur yesterday, that when the words base Kor Ofrani Moichaloch are used, it's as if he said Hein Chaser Hein Yasser. So that's why the Mishnah had to say that it's not the base Korani Moichaloch that I began the statement with, which is what's going to be prevailing, but rather what's going to be prevailing is, according to Bananas, we always follow the second statement. So as we've just been explaining, the halach, the Mishnah says that we always look at the second phrase, because that is the opinion of Bananas. And immediately comments the Gemara, Amarav Ababa Mamal Amarav, Chokanalov Chavei Rava Bananas. Bananas colleagues, the Chachamim, disagree with Bananas when he says, do we follow Lashon Achron and Lashon Rishon? And as the Rashbam explains, the Chachamim are not quite certain. Bananas, as we just finished explaining, is of the opinion that we always follow the second statement. But the Chachamim are not certain. The Ritva asks, why? How could somebody, asked Ritva, disagree with Bananas? Isn't the person allowed to change his mind? Throughout Halacha, there's always a concept that we discuss of Toich Kedei Dibur, that if somebody retracted Toich Kedei Dibur, he's allowed to retract Toich Kedei Dibur. So the question here is, why would Bananas disagree, and not why would the Chachamim disagree with Bananas and not allow somebody to disagree? So that he answers that the Chachamim say that if somebody makes a second statement and it's clear that the second statement represents a retraction of the first statement, then everybody will agree that we follow the second statement. Here, there isn't a clarity if that's what he meant to do. As I saw the Tosfos Rit also explains, a person sometimes gets confused and isn't clear in his wording. And since a person is not always clear in his wording, we're not sure, did the second statement mean a total retraction, or did the second statement just mean that he's being unclear and we don't know what to do with that? Tveres Yisrael, Tveres Tzion, has a very different approach to understanding the Machloikus Ben Nanas and the Chachamim. They explain that, as we said a moment ago, in Halacha there's often this concept of Toch Kedei Dibur, you can retract Toch Kedei Dibur. Why is the Halacha that you could change your mind with Toch Kedei Dibur? So Ben Nanas, it's very clear, he says. Ben Nanas' opinion is, the reason a person has a right to retract Toch Kedei Dibur, explains the Tveres Tzion according to Ben Nanas, is because a person could change his mind, and as long as he changes his mind, Toch Kedei Dibur, it's fine. The Chachamim, however, say there's no necessarily such a concept a person is given a right to change his mind. As we often see in Halacha, the Halacha of Toch Kedei Dibur was really made because a person sometimes saying something, and as he's speaking, a person whom he has to greet walks by, and he has to be given the opportunity to stop and greet that person and go back. So if that's the case, so then Toch Kedei Dibur doesn't mean that the Halacha recognizes the right for retraction. If Halacha doesn't recognize the right for attraction, so then the Halacha is that the just because he said something second doesn't mean it means a retraction. The Sefer Maskil David says that the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu Dabana Ba'oznei Am, that Moshe Rabbeinu should tell Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, Vishalu Ishmeis Re'eu V'Ishmeis Re'usa K'lechesev V'chleizov. And Rashi, quoting the Gemara Masech, the Brachas of Zayin Amar Aleph, Dabana Ein No El Losh Mekosha. No represents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked Moshe Rabbeinu, please, B'Bakosh Mecha, I ask you, please, has Hiram to ask them Al Kain, that they should make sure to ask the Mitzrim for what their own. Shloi Taima is the tzaddik, that tzaddik Avram Vina should not be able to say Vavada Vina by some Kiyam Behem. The fact that they had to have the slavery in Mitzrayim happened. V'ach Kain Yetzi B'chush Gadol Kiyam Behem. And of course, the question I'll ask is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, I ask you a favor. Why would we think that Moshe Rabbeinu won't do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked him to do, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu need to ask him a favor? So he answers. The Pasuk says, V'shali isha mishchenta meguris beisai, kli chesav v'kleizav. That's what the Pasuk says earlier. And the question is, why doesn't the Pasuk over there only mentions about women asking from the Mitzrayim women, nothing about the men asking from the Mitzrayim men? And why not? As in this Pasuk, it speaks both to the men and the women. So the explanation is that if originally the Torah would have just told the men to take, the men would have said, we don't know what our neighbors have. Men don't really pay attention to what their neighbors have. Only women are familiar with others, more familiar with these things. So he said, that's why the Pasuk only spoke to the women, not to the men originally. But this Pasuk that we began with is already after Makas Choshech. And during Makas Choshech, we know that the Bnei Yisrael entered the homes of the Mitzrim. And now everybody knew what was in the homes of the Mitzrim. So that's why the Torah could speak to the men and to the women as well. So the question is, how do we understand these two psukim? Do we say that we follow the first pasuk, and the first pasuk speaks only to the women? Or do we follow the second pasuk, which speaks to the men and to the women? So if we follow the opinion of Ben Nanas, we always follow the second statement. And therefore, the halacha will be Torah speaking both to the men and to the women. But if we're going to follow the opinion of the Chachamim that we just finished explaining, we're not quite certain, the Chachamim are not quite certain. Do you follow Lashon Rishon? Do you follow Lashon Acharon? So maybe they'll back off, and the men won't ask. They say, because maybe we follow the first pasuk. For that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that even though maybe normally the halacha is like the Rabbanon, and we have to be concerned about the Lashon Rishon, here I'm asking you, Dabano, I ask you, please follow the second pasuk, and not only should the women ask, but the men should ask as well. Says the Gemara, my Kamashmalan. So the Gemara has taught us that we have a machloikis, bananas and the Chachamim, tvois la Sharishin or tvois la Acharon. Ask the Gemara, my Kamashmalan, what have we learned that we don't know before? Tanina, it's a mission that we learned in Masechta Baba Metzia, Daf Kuf Beis of an Aleph. The Mishnah teaches us there, Maisa B'Tzipari, there was a story in Tzipari, B'Adam, B'Echad Shesoch HaMerchus B'Chaveri, somebody rented a bathhouse from someone else. B'Shneim Asa Zuvim L'Shana, it was rented at the rate of 12 gold pieces at the year, Din Azav L'Chodesh. So there's really, the way the rental payment was agreed to were two different statements. One is a dinner a month, and one is 12 for the whole year. So under normal circumstances, it doesn't make a difference. However, if a year was determined to be a leap year, and again, in the world that they lived, it wasn't a set calendar like we have, where we can know when it's going to be a leap year in advance. Every year, they determined if that year should be a leap year or not. So now the question is, do we follow Lashon Rishon, and he only has to pay 12 zehuvim for this year, even though this year has 30 months? Or do we follow the second statement, and it's a dinner a month? And if there's 30 months, you have to pay for 13 months. It says the Gemara, Ba Ma'isel Lefnei Rav Shimon Gamliel, Lefnei Rav Yossi, this question was brought to them, and they said, Yachloikus Chodesh Iber, that they divide the Chodesh Iber. So as I said, the way the Rashba learns this Gemara, that this deal, this arrangement was made at the beginning of the year, and they did not yet know at that point if this year will be a leap year or not, and that's why they didn't know how to interpret this. That's how the Rashba learns. The Ran says that it doesn't have to be that it's the beginning of the year, as long as the arrangement was made before we knew if it's going to be a leap year or not, we'll have the exact same shaila. So the Gemara, the Rishonim explained that our Mishnah is following this psak that we just learned is following the opinion of Sumchus, that we often have throughout Shas that Sumchus' opinion is Mamana Mutaba Safi Cholkim, that we divide it. But when we learned this Gemara Masechta Baba Metzia, we quoted Rishonim, who said that even the Rabbanan, who normally don't subscribe to the concept of Mamana Mutaba Safi Cholkim, they always say Hamotzim Chavera Olav Araya. Here, they agree that Mamana Mutaba Safi Cholkim. In other words, they said that when, just like Sumchus doesn't always say Mamana Mutaba Safi Cholkim, Sumchus in a question where there's two types of sfeikas, the two types of questions. We can have a question, what was the arrangement? We can have a question, what is the halacha? So when Sumcha says Yachloiku, he never says Yachloiku when there's a suffix in the din. He says says Yachloiku when there's a suffix in exactly what was the agreement. So too, even though the Rabbanan normally say Hamotz Mechaveroi Olav Araya, here they learn this case as not, they learned this as a sfeika d'dina. So the Rishonim are saying a very big chiddush. According to Sumchus, this is a case of sfeika b'metzias. And a sofik b'metzias, Sumchus says, Mamana mutab sofik cholkim. The Rabbanan, on the contrary, are learning that we don't know how to look at the halacha. Or maybe even said better, Because the Rabbanim themselves aren't certain if Tfais Lashon Rishon or Tfais Lachon Achron, which wording should we follow? And therefore, without any option, everybody doesn't know what to do here. That's why the Rabbanim will agree that here Chalten. So why, asked the Gemara, was it necessary for our Mishnah to teach us this halacha, a case of Mamana Mutab Safa Chalken, isn't a case of Tfais Lashon Rishon, Tfais Lashon Achron? Machloks ben Anas and Chachamim, we already learned in the Mishnah, in Masech, the Bava Metzia, answers the Gemara. If we only had the Mishnah there, have a Mina Hasahum, who there we say Achloku, Dika Lameima, it's legitimate to say, Meheda Kahadabe, that he changed his mind. And he doesn't have it at a 12 dinar for the year sale. He means it. He means a monthly price. Or Ikala Meimer, we could say Furish Mefarish, that he's just explaining what he said, that it's going to be 12 for the year, but you're going to pay me on a monthly basis. So there, since the two statements can coincide, maybe that's why the halach is the way it was stated. Aval Hochel, the statement of Mida Bechevel and the statement of Hein Chasav Hein Yosser, as we're learning in our Shiurim, cannot coexist. They have very different halachas. Aval Hochel, the Vadik Adabei, so the second statement certainly represents a retraction of the first statement. Emeloi, under these circumstances, perhaps the halacha should be different. That's why Kamash Malon, that's why the Gemara had to teach us that even in this case, the halacha is that we follow, it's the same machlokes bananas and the chamon. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, Zudevei Bananas, what the Mishnah says that we follow the second statement is the opinion of bananas, of a chamon, actually the opinion of the chamon is Hoylach Achas Pachas Shebel Shoynes. We always follow what is to the detriment of the buyer. Because whatever is, because the seller is the muchzik, the seller is the one that starts with this property, and since the seller is the property, he is in the stronger position. So if this seller gave extra, then the buyer has to return it. And if the seller gave less, the buyer has to accept what was given less. And the Rambam explains that this halacha, the way we just expressed it, it doesn't make a difference if it was paid for or not. In other words, as we just finished explaining, the Shmuel's opinion is that the seller is considered the muchzik, and since the seller is considered the muchzik, he's considered the muchzik under all circumstances. However, I saw that the Ravid disagrees, and the Ravid says that when we're explaining that Shmuel says we follow the muchzik, what that actually means is who has the money. So if the buyer already paid, so then the seller is in the upper position. If he didn't pay, then the buyer is in the upper position. The one who has the money, who's holding on to the money, is the one that has the stronger position. Ask the Gemara, from the wording that Shmuel just used, Zu, Divrei Bananas, it seems that what is Shmuel saying? The Lois Sfirle, Bananas holds that way. I, Shmuel, don't hold that way. Ask the Gemara, for Rav Shmuel Dami Tavayu, we've learned that if somebody is selling to somebody a kor of chitim, a kor of chitim, as we often discuss, hasn't it 30 saw? So if the way it was sold was Shloishimani Maichalach, kor b'shloishimani Maichalach, I'm selling you 30 saw for 30 sloim, and that was the agreement that they're selling a whole core. Yochalachsbay afilu basah achrona. They could back out even on the last saw. But if they said kor b'shloishim saw b'selani meichalach, so they said each saw is a separate unit being sold individually, then the halacha is rishon kana. That as each saw is put into the buyer's property, it becomes his. So we see that over here, Shmuel says, that we follow Lashon Achron. So if it was said, kor b'shloishim ani meichalach, then it's going to be the whole kor. Otherwise, if he said, sa b'sal ani meichalach, we look at that. Says the Gemara, Ella, What we must say is Shmuel's opinion is Zu. Shmuel said that this opinion that we learned in the Mishnah is actually the opinion of Bananas. And actually, Vesirle, he agrees with Bananas. Ask the Gemara, Omi Sirle, can we say that Shmuel agrees with Bananas? From Shmuel, that we spoke earlier about somebody who rented the apartment and the wording of the deal was confusing. It was said, Shnei Asazuvim Lashona, Din Azov L'Chaydish. And then the year turned into being a leap year. So we don't know, does he have to pay an extra for that month or not? And the Gemara said, and the Mishnah said that we divide. Says Shmuel, when is the halacha that we divide that 13th month? Ba'ba emtza chodesh eskinen. So do we? It's the middle of the month. So we don't know, should we go with the in the favor of the tenant? Should we follow in pay in the favor of the landlord? And therefore, we leave everything in the chazaka. So if you didn't pay yet, so the halacha will be that you don't have, at half the month passed, you wouldn't have to pay. But for the half a month that's still coming, where it's the landlord's apartment, you will have to pay. If the landlord would have demand payment at the beginning of the month, so he'll win. The Saif Chaydish, if the landlord will only ask for his rent at the end of the month, it's going to go completely to the tenant. So we see that Shmuel does not follow the Lashon Achron. Because were we to follow the Lashon Achron, then the halacha should be that whatever was said second should be the prevailing way to Paskin. The fact that Shmuel says that we look at who is the Muchsik is clearly indication that he doesn't follow the Lashon Achron. So how do we say that Shmuel holds like Sulchis? Ela Oilam, because it says the Gemara, Oilam Loisvirle. He does not agree with Bananas. Hasam Tamamai. So why by the Merchatz, where we didn't know what to do, do we say Yachloiku? Mishum the toughest. Because everybody's holding on, as we explained, has nothing to do with Bananas. Everybody's holding on to something. Hachanami, Dar Tafas, the question by the when he sold Kor L'Shloishim, Saul L'Selah, is because everybody's already holding on to what they have. When you're holding on to something, so as we keep on repeating in Ashurim, Muchsik changes everything. So we've been learning that when the year became a leap year, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that in such a case that the tenant wins. The Shail Meshiv says, is that really the halacha? That in the case of the Shulchan Aruch, says the Shail Meshiv, and in the case of our Gemara, is when they made this arrangement, they did not know, as we explained, that this year is going to be a leap year. So since they did not know that this year is going to be a leap year, that's why the tenant ends up, as the Rishonim say, Mazla Goyrim. It's his good luck that the year became a leap year and he gets an extra month for free. But says the Shoyal Meshev, the Bezman Azeh, as we said earlier, that we know upfront that this year is going to be a leap year. So we can't use the concept of Mazla Goyrim, that it was his good fortune, because nothing special happened because of his good fortune, and therefore the halacha is that it should belong to the landlord. However, many disagree with the Shoyal Meshev, and they say that if the agreement was made this way, it doesn't make a difference if he knew or didn't know that it's a leap year. The fact that the agreement was 12 for the year, that's all you're going to have to pay. There's another reason the Paiskim say that the fact that a person is renting out the apartment in this way, and it's something that he should take into consideration that it's a leap year. And the fact that he didn't do so, it's his mistake that he should make a difference it's his fault that he didn't make sure that it's a leap year and he should charge accordingly, and therefore it's the landlord's loss. The Paiskim, however, now ask another question. And the question is, maybe the way somebody is paid should be, the way somebody is paid should be an indication for us to know what is the halacha. In other words, if rent is paid on a monthly basis, so it's understood that every month I have to pay rent. And the fact that this year has 13 months, of course I have to pay for the 13th month. So the Shas Tshuvas Beis Shloima discuss is the method of payment, the fact that I'm paying a certain amount, a proof every month that I'm paying rent every month, a proof that I'm supposed to pay for the month that became that is the leap month. And I can't say that it doesn't make sense that you should get rent for a month for free. So he has the following question. There was somebody who hired a teacher for his children for the summer, for the months of Iyar through Elul, 5 months, and he paid him, and he said he would pay him 60 zehuvim for that term. And every week, he gave him 3 zehuvim. Then, at the end of the summer term, the person turned to the teacher turned to the father, and he says, do you want to continue this arrangement for the next term, cheshvin to other? That's 6 months. And then it turned into 6 months because it was an ibriyar. So they started working, and the father paid this teacher every week 3 zehuvim. At the end of Chodesh Adar Rishon, he had paid him the 60 zehuvim that they agreed to. And he said, you have to continue working for me, Adar Sheni, for free. We agreed on 60 zehuvim. I gave you 60 zehuvim, and now I'm paid up, and you continue working until Rosh Chodesh Nissan. The teacher says that no, I agreed to get paid 3 zehuvim a week. And if I'm going to be here for another 4 weeks, for Adar Sheni, I should get paid 3 zehuvim a week. And the question is, on one hand, here it was very clear that the amount was 60 zehuvim. But what is the teacher claiming? The teacher's claiming the fact that you paid me 3 zehuvim a week indicates that you're going to be paying me, that rate every week. So if I continue teaching your children those weeks, you should have to pay me for those weeks. So the question is that how do we look at this then Torah? And the Shas Tshuvas Beis Shloima seems to indicate that. Even though, so this is our question. Do we look at the method of payment, and therefore he should have to continue paying him? Or do we look at the year, do we look at the total amount agreed? And he seems to say that in our Gemara, we've been having a discussion back and forth. What do we follow? Tfois Losh Rishon, Tfois Losh Akron, because there's a contradiction in the statements that were said, and we don't know which statement to follow. But in the case that we just discussed, there is no contradiction in what's being said. And therefore, since there's no contradiction in what's being said, there's a strong argument to be made that everybody would agree we just follow. He said 60 for the term, and that's all he would have to pay. The Gemara, Masechta Bava Metzia, the beginning of Masechta Bava Metzia, Davov, speaks about Tokfa Koyin Metzim B'yodoi. The Gemara there speaks about when Reuven was in possession of a disputed item, that Reuven is considered the Muchzik and is awarded rights to those items even if it was taken away from him. Just because somebody seized it from him does not classify him as the Muchzik. So Ash Tosfos, our Gemara just said that if he came at the end of the month, if it's already the end of the month, at that point, the tenant is considered the muchzik, and the landlord can't take the rent from him. So ask Tosfos, if the landlord had come at the beginning of the month, our Gemara clearly said, the landlord would prevail. And didn't we just say, ask Tosfos, that if somebody at one point is considered the muchzik, he doesn't lose the status of being the muchzik later in the month. So why over here are we changing that at the beginning of the month the landlord is considered the muchzik and at the end of the month the tenant is considered the muchzik? So Tosfos answers, the fact that the landlord didn't say anything until the end of the month, it means that he was moida. It means that he admits that the tenant is entitled to it. So it's not so much a vart of the tenant being a muchzik. It's more of a vart, according to Tosfos, that there's an admission that you are right. The Tfapula Charifta says that, but that the Gemara over it says explicitly that because of Shum the Tefis, that he's the muchzik. So how can we explain the Gemara that it's not because he's a Tefis, but rather because he's a Maida that the tenant is right? So the Tumim, in order to explain Tosfos, says that Tosfos doesn't mean to say that the landlord's, the fact that he didn't say anything meant that he was Meichel, he's Maida. Rather, Tosfos means to say that when do we say Tok v'koyin mitzim yaday is when somebody sees something illegally. So the halacha, says the Tumim, according to Tosfos, cannot give a recognition to somebody who grabbed something improperly and now call him a muchzik. And our Gemara, the tenant didn't do anything wrong. He was living in the house that he's entitled to live in. So since he didn't do anything wrong, he didn't do anything wrong. That's why here Tosfos will say that we don't. The halacha is like the tenant. Amar like the tenant. The halacha is on we pass it on behalf of the tenant. In the time of Chazal, there was a coin that was called an istra. An istra has in it 96 prutas. So says the Gemara Amar Rav Huna Amar Barav. Bistra, if somebody said that I want to buy, I want to sell, and the charge will be an istra, and they said meyamah. So the question is, or was said the other way, meyamah bistra. So the question is, what does he have to pay? 100 prutas or 96 prutas? So says the Gemara, if it was said bistra meyamah, so the meyamah was said second, so the payment is meyamah. If however it was said meyamah bistra, the payment is istra. Says the Gemara, my kamashmalan. So what's Rav coming to teach us? Asked the Gemara. That tfois lo shenachrin. Do we look at the second statement? Who asked the Gemara? Amar Rav chadazimna. We notice halacha. Damar Rav yavoy hasam. Rav said, going back to the Gemara, the case that we've been speaking about, where somebody said, rented something shneim osa zuhuvim l'shono din azav l'chadish, and then it became a leap year. Rav said, Yavoy Hassam, had I been there, Havivna Kolo Lamaska, I would let the landlord win under all circumstances, because we look at the second statement. Says the Gemara, Madutema, Purusha Kamafarish. The reason Rav had to teach us this halacha by Istra Meyamah, because we would say that the reason why in that case the landlord wins is Purusha Kamafarish. That when he said, he was saying, don't think I'm renting it to you on an annual basis. I'm renting it to you on a monthly basis. And that's why the second statement is not to be viewed as different than the first statement. And now I have a question. What statement should I follow? The first statement or the second statement? That's not the way to look at it. Rather, the way to look at it is that's one statement, and the second part of the statement is explaining the first part of the statement. But in our Gemara, where istra meyamoy, it's either 96 or 100. The two phrases cannot coexist. And since the two phrases cannot coexist, that is truly a case of tfois lashon akron. But that is not necessarily the case over there where it's a situation of tvois lashon akron. The Rishonim say that if somebody sold something that, and he said, Istra Meyama, according to Rav, the halacha is that we go Basel Lashon Achron and you'll pay Meyama. And according to Shmuel and Rav Nachman, we go according to the Pachas Shabbalashonis, it'll be only 90, it'll only be 96, because we follow on behalf of the Muchzik. And it could be, as we mentioned earlier, it will be relevant. The question will come up if it was already paid for or if it wasn't paid for. The Pasuk says, in Pashas Bereishis, Yoimelakim, Tache Oretz Desha, Esa Mazria Zera, Eitz Pri Oisa Pri. So Rashi explains, Eitz Pri, Sheitam Eitz Katama Pri, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the fruit, the trees, to produce trees that the tree itself tastes like the fruit. But, says Rashi, V'hi Loi Asa Sakein, the tree did not do as it was told. Ela Taitzi Aretz Eitz Oisa Pri, V'loi Eitz Pri. The fruit, the tree produces fruit, but the tree doesn't taste like the fruit. And the question is obvious. A tree doesn't have a Yetzirah. People have Yetzirah, and they don't do what they're supposed to do. But how can we say that a tree has a Yetzirah? So the Taz in the Sefer Divrei David in Parashas Bereishis says that the entire mistake, the entire Aveira was made by mistake. At the originally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Eitz Pri. Eitz Pri means Tam Eitz Katam Pri. But then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu used the word Oisa Pri. Oisa Pri was indication that the fruit should taste like fruit, but the tree doesn't have to taste like fruit. So we know what halacha is, that Rav just taught us, Tvois Lashon Achron. And since the halacha is Tvois Lashon Achron, and the second lashon was Oisa Pri, that's why it didn't produce tree, it didn't produce fruit, that didn't produce a tree that tastes like the fruit. Why did it make a mistake? Because why did it make a mistake? So that was its mistake. Tvois Lashon Achron. So what if that, if it made a legitimate halachic mistake based on what we're learning in our shir, so why is it considered that it did an aveira? So some explain that the reason it was considered that it did an aveira is because the reason it was considered that it did an aveira is even an aveira b'shogeg is considered an aveira. But perhaps the pshat is human beings could change their mind, as we began our shir. And Banana says that's that if a person changes his mind, we take that into consideration. However, when people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change his mind. So the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't use the same language the second time as he used the first time should not be taken as an indication that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is changing his mind. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change his mind. And that's why the tree not recognizing that we can't subscribe to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way we behave and the way we speak, that's called, that was the aveir of the eitz. That was the aveir of the tree. The aveir of the tree was thinking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks and acts like human beings. But of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't think and speak and act kaviyocha like we do.